Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. What we've been discussing since it's been a while, around 47th out of J. The topic of discussion is the personal body of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. That he has a body, that body is eternal. So in all senses it's real. But it's not material, it's got a special spiritual quality. So, we're continuing here, 47.1. Tasman apani padashruter api saranamta svapakash ananda vigraha eva bhagavati tatparyam nanyatriti pratipadayanti tvamakaramat svararakilakarika shakti dharas tava. We're not at 47. We didn't finish 46. Okay, I'll go back. Almost done. Okay, 46.32. Still we're talking about the body of God. Actually, I think here we're talking about the quality of the transcendental mode of goodness compared to the material mode of goodness, which is connected with the reality of the Supreme Lord, which is of the Supreme Lord's body, which is made of Vishuddhasattva. So there was a side discussion about the nature of Vishuddhasattva. I think that involved most of Anuj 46. So 46.32. Seems quite a bit more than 46. Yeah, up to 37, okay. Tathai voktam jaya kale tu sattvasya devarshin rajaso suran tamaso yaksha rakshamsi tatkalana guno bhajat. Thus it has been said, and that is in the Bhagavatam 7th canto, when the quality of goodness has been prominent, the Supreme Lord has taken the side of the demigods and sages, responding to the nature of the time. When passion has been prominent, he favored the demons. And when ignorance was prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas. I have to look back at the previous section. What are we talking about? Let me read translation of 46.31, see if that helps us. Going back one paragraph. But why are you describing things like this, so as to delude the whole world with contrary statements? That would be... Oh, this is Bhagavatam 3, 3rd chapter, the 10th canto. That's Krishna talking to either Nanda or Raja Yashoda. So Krishna is raising the Purva Paksha. Why are you saying all this nonsense about me? Indeed, it might be inferred that by the mode of ignorance I have now assumed this black color of Krishna for the purpose of annihilating the world's population. Okay, I think it was Nanda Maharaj, not Vasudeva, encompasses prison, praying to newborn Krishna that your appearance is three different colors for maintenance, creation, and destruction. White, red, and black. So Krishna is objecting, well, I'm black now, that means I'm in the mode of ignorance. Okay. Anticipating this objection of Krishna's, Vasudeva refused by speaking the verse beginning, Tvamasya, which is back even further. Okay, let me read the Tvamasya verse. How far back does that go? Oh, I can't even find it. Tvamasya. Tvamasya lokasya vibhoniraksu viherbhatirno sima makineshvara Rajanya Samhya Sarapoti Yuttapire Divyumana Nihadishkate Shambhu. Actually, let me read the verse before that. Satvam, this is what Vasudev said just before that. Satvam Trilokaskataye Swamayaya Vibharti Shuklam Kaluvarnam Atmanaha Sargaya Bhaktam Vajaso Prabhrindhitam Krishna Javarnam Tamasa Janatye. Okay, translation of both of these verses. My Lord, your form is transcendental to the three material modes. Yet for the maintenance of the three worlds, you assume the white color of Vishnu and goodness. For creation, which is surrounded by the quality of passion, you appear reddish. And at the end, when there is a need for annihilation, which is surrounded by ignorance, you appear blackish. That's Prabhupada's translation. The word Vishnu is not actually there in the verse. It's Shukla. Shukla, Varna. Second verse. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world, under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public.
Well, about 31 we're looking at. Anticipating this objection of Krishna's, Vasudev refutes it by speaking the verse beginning Tvamasya. That second of the verses I just read. Nirvyuhyamana means being dragged here and there. The idea is, whatever other proof there may be of your manifest form being completely spiritual and composed of the pure mode of goodness, that's the topic under discussion in this anuchet, that Krishna's body is completely spiritual and is composed of the pure mode of goodness. Vasudev says, whatever other proof there may be of your manifest form being completely spiritual and composed of the pure mode of goodness, even in your accepting forms according to the various material modes. There is no opportunity of this reasoning be made. The reasoning Krishna made, that I'm black, so I must be in the mode of ignorance. One might argue, thus in reference to the destruction of the universe, which is a cause of suffering only, and which is manifest as deep sleep, but not in reference to the current situation. Okay, if Krishna was appearing now to destroy the universe, you could talk about ignorance, but that's not the purpose of his current appearance. At this time, rather, you bestow your protection and become the cause of happiness for the whole world. And also, these demons can, on the pretext of being killed, obtain your mercy in the form of liberation, which transcends all the material modes. This is similar to the situation of the statement, bring the Sindhi horse. Bring the Sindhi horse. Well, that statement is, bring the Sindhi, is ambiguous. Bring the horse or bring the salt. So when you say Krishna's in goodness, or he's black as ignorance, you have to see it in context. Okay, Krishna's black, but his appearance now has nothing to do with the mode of ignorance. The mode that he's manifesting in and the mode that he's acting in is transcendental goodness. Everybody who's affected by Krishna's activity is affected in an auspicious way. Krishna is appearing. He only appears. The Supreme Lord only appears in the transcendental mode of goodness. To cause the modes of passion and ignorance to have their effect, he has his deputies, Brahma and Shiva, do that. He himself doesn't act through the material modes of goodness of passion and ignorance. Okay, now we look at what we have to say in 46:32. Thus it is said, and there was a verse from the seventh canto, when the quality of goodness has been prominent, the Supreme Lord has taken the side of the demigods and sages, responding to the nature of the time. When passion has been prominent, he favored the demons. And when ignorance was prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas. Rakshasas. Thus it is... Okay. Tasman, na tamak krito yam varna, iti rajaksatvabhyam rakta shuklav eva bhavata, iti purva pratipakshi matam. Thus it is not true, as the proponents of the opposite view think. Actually, here the proponent of the opposite view is Krishna. But it is not true, as the proponents of the opposite view think, that this color of yours has been created by the mode of ignorance, and that red and white forms are produced by the modes of passion and goodness. Therefore, tatascha parisheshya pramanena. Parisheshya, parisheshya. What is parisheshya? Remainder. It's the logic of that involves the remainder. We know that Raju bought apples, bananas, and oranges. And I tell you, there's no apples or oranges left. So you can, by the process of elimination, conclude that there must be some, at least there's some bananas. That's parishesha nyaya. So, tatascha parishesha pramanena swarupa shakti vyanjita tvam evatrapi paryavasatiti iti bhavaha. Therefore, it can be concluded. The word B is missing. Hold on a second. I just put it in. It can be concluded by the logic of the only remaining possibility that, in this context also, the intended idea is that your form is manifested by your personal energy. Okay, how does that process of elimination work here? Well, let's see. Let's finish the translation and look. Tataiva tam evartam shri devaki devyapi sambramena prageva vivritatvati rupam yatat prahur avyaktam adyam iti. And so it is that Sri Devaki Devi has previously presented the same idea in her words full of reverence. This form, which is called original and unmanifested. Let's see. 17. Okay, that was also previously in the same chapter. Devaki had offered her prayer. Now, what was that process of elimination? Okay. The possibilities have been eliminated on the authority of scripture and reason that the Supreme Lord's body can be a product of any of the modes of nature. So it must be a product of something else than a material mode. Okay. Now I'll read the commentary. Vasudev speaks of Krishna's assuming the modes of nature for creative purposes. But as has now been proven, he could not have meant that Krishna's appearance is a material event, presumably ruled over by the mode of ignorance because his color is black. He could not have meant to say that without contradicting what, as an intelligent Vaishnav, he must have learned from any number of learned teachers and scriptures, that the Supreme Lord always appears in this world through purely spiritual agencies. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter. When I take birth, it is by my personal energy. And that means the internal spiritual energy. The verse cited here from the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam was spoken by the verse Jayakali to Satvasya. The Lord, when the mode of passion, goodness is prominent, the Lord is helping the demigods. And when the passion is prominent, he's helping the asuras, etc. That was spoken by Shukadev in reply at the beginning of the 7th canto. What was described at the end of the 6th canto? What was the last topic? No, that's 5th canto. Yeah. Yeah, and then that's connected with the birth of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, right? Oh, and then the Maruts were born, and they were supposed to be enemies of Indra, but they became his friends. A deity worship. Okay. Vritrasura, who turned out to be a better devotee than Indra. Okay. Anyway, there's a whole... That whole section there involves the demons becoming very powerful and almost conquering the demigods. Anyway, what was... Good question. What was Prakshit's question? Let's see. This verse spoken by Shukadev in reply to Prakshit asking why the Supreme Lord, who is supposed to be equal to everyone, treats the opponents of the demigods as enemies. Okay, that's a question. He's not supposed to have favorites. This answer, the verse we read, leads into the narration that sometimes it depends on the mixture of the modes. If one of the modes is prominent, the Lord suitably acts in accordance. This answer leads into the narration of the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev to save his devotee Prahlad from the persecution of his demoniac father. This is the beginning of the 7th canto. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on this verse, explains the verb abhajat, took the side of, as indicating that Lord Vishnu enters the bodies sometimes of the demigods, sometimes of their enemies, and sometimes of powerful creatures in the mode of ignorance. So he actually enters their bodies with his energy, giving strength in turns to these various beings. He is already present in every living body as the supersoul. But when the times are appropriate, from within, he especially empowers one contending party or another. So we can try to understand better that the Supreme Lord actually is in control of everything. We get in anxiety when the lower modes seem to be prominent. And why can this happen? You know, how could God let this happen? But actually he is. He's not only allowing it to happen and ignoring it, he's actually directly involved. He's personally entering the body of these demoniac creatures and empowering them. It's all part of his plan. Okay, now, the possibilities have been eliminated on the authority of scripture and reason that the Supreme Lord's body can be a product of any of the modes of matter. Impersonalists conclude from this, okay, not any product of any mode of matter. So the impersonalists conclude from this that the absolute truth has no form. But the right conclusion is that he has a spiritual form. Like her husband, Mother Devaki is intelligent and reverent, which are qualifications for correctly understanding God. She identified Krishna's form as a vyakta. That's interesting. His form, which he's seeing in front of him, she's calling unmanifest. Since he was obviously visible to her as her newborn son, she must have understood avyakta to mean that he is perceivable, but not made so by any material cause. It's a past passive participle. It expresses the object of the action. Well, what we call in Sanskrit the subject, but it's the action is being done to the passive subject. The passive subject is the victim of the action. But Krishna is not the victim of any action of perception. Nothing makes him be perceived. He just makes himself perceived, but nothing makes him perceived. So therefore, he's not the thing that's acted upon by some agent of making him perceivable. So he's avyakta. He's not made manifest. Nothing makes him manifest. He just manifests himself through his internal energies. Anyway, the one line of that verse was quoted at the end of this paragraph, spoken by Devaki, Rupam yattad prahura vyaktamadyam, with the word avyakta in it. Here's the whole verse. Rupam yattad prahur avyaktamadyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvikaram satamatram nirvishesham niriham satvam sakshad vishnur adhyatma deepaha. That form which is called the unmanifest, original light of the absolute truth, without qualities and transformations, nirgunam and nirvikara, undistinguished, satamatram, pure existence, undistinguished, unmoving, satamatram, nirvishesham, niriham, no distinctions and doesn't do anything. That is your Lord, that is you, Lord Vishnu, appearing in person, the lamp of transcendental knowledge. Well, so she's distinguishing Vishnu in very apparently in very impersonal terms. But the impersonalists don't understand this properly. He does have his form. There's no material gunas. There's no material vikara. He's pure existence, but it doesn't really mean that he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything material. And he has variety, but no material variety. Okay. I guess I'm going to ask for questions, but just relevant questions, please. Yes.
You had explained that how Krishna favors different modes at different times, and because of that, it seems like something what is not very welcome is happening. But still, Krishna is very very much involved with what's happening. So, how do we understand this? Is it that he's favoring those modes means he's favoring the living entities who are in those modes,
yes,
and they're also ultimately his eternal servants. So. They are in some conditioning of those modes, and still they are also seeking pleasure. So unless he gives them some pleasure, they can't live. They'll get choked up. Their lifeline is cut off.
Well, when you say favor, I don't know if the word favor was really used, was it? Well, he's taken side of, okay. I guess taking side of is favoring. But we understand that his actual favor, his actual mercy is on a higher level. He's acting for the real benefit of everyone, including his enemies and the enemies of his devotees, by giving the demons the power to use the mode of ignorance to do harm. He's facilitating their correction. Just like the example is going to be the story of Hiranyakashipu, who Vishnu doesn't get involved directly necessarily, but through his agent, Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu was empowered to conquer the universe and to kick the demigods out of their positions and to cause a lot of trouble in the universe. So the point is that Vishnu is he's directly sanctioning it. He's aware of it, and it's part of his higher intention. But it's not just, you know, today I feel like favoring the demons. Today I like the demons. He's not really taking sides. He's Jagatita. He's acting for the benefit of everybody. The way to benefit Hiranyakashipu, he promised Hiranyakashipu he would come back after being killed 3 times. So he has to arrange for Hiranyakashipu to get himself killed. He could have arranged for Hiranyakashipu to slip on a banana peel and break his head. But he wanted to arrange it in the most dramatic way, that he got benediction that seemed to promise him that he'll never get killed by anybody. And then let him do all the nonsense he wants, including trying to kill Prahlad in dozens of ways. And then, finally, he himself will come and kill him. So that's all being arranged for by Vishnu empowering Brahma to empower Hiranyakashipu to become the most powerful demon who ever lived. In that way, he's favoring Hiranyakashipu by arranging for his destruction and for the whole Leela. You can look at the whole material creation as a pastime of the Lord, not just his glancing at Prakriti, but everything that goes on from the beginning of creation to the end, everything that happens to everybody is one of the Lord's pastimes, especially what happens to these prominent demons and to his pure devotees. Okay, what was the follow-up question? Yes.
There's a verse saying the same thing what you elaborated in the Bhagavatam in the 9th canto, where Shukadev concludes the 9th canto. He says that Yanmaya Jeshtitam Pumsaha Stityutpatya Pyayaya Hi Anugrahastan Nivrityartham Anugrahastan Nivrityahe Atmalabhaya Jeshtyade.
Meaning?
What you said, that whatever he does...
Thank you.
Just to add one more point, from Prabhupada's purpose, I think he's quoting somebody in Chaitanya Charitamrita saying that Krishna manifests as 3 kinds of paramatmas, and each paramatma is in charge of a particular mode of nature. He says that Sankarsana is the paramatma of creatures in the mode of ignorance and destruction, death, and things like that.
Really?
Then Paradyumna is the paramatma of the mode of passion and passionate creatures like kings and human beings. And then as Aniruddha, he's paramatma of the beings, the creatures in the mode of goodness and dharma and demigods. I can find that passage. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Do you know who's saying that?
He doesn't quote anybody explicitly, but he just states it. I think he might...
Is that Prabhupada or Krishna's Kaviraj?
Well, it's Prabhupada.
Yeah.
In his, in his commentary.
Yeah.
It's an interesting analysis because Paramatma is impartial, so he's impartially guarding or governing all 3 features of the material
world. Mayavadis misunderstand that, and they understand the Chaturvyuha to be material forms, therefore, but that's a complete misunderstanding.
Do you need that passage? I can find it for you.
Do
you need that passage from
No, I think we should go back to the... the next sudden change. But okay, we move on then. Next paragraph. Ata prakritam anusarama. Now let us return to the main discussion. The side discussion was establishing the special nature of the mode of goodness in which the Lord's body appears. You know, once we made the point that the Lord appears in the mode, transcendental mode of goodness, there was doubts about what is that. And so it had to be explained how it's not regular goodness, it's something special. So we have that long side discussion. Now we go back to the main discussion, which is the transcendental, eternal nature of the Lord's body. Okay. Now we return to the main discussion. Tata gunasya vailakshanyam atmaramanam apyakarshana linga gamyad bhuta rupa tvam. The uniqueness of his qualities, moreover, is that they are simply marvelous. As can be inferred from the evidence of their attracting even self-satisfied sages. I'm just... Okay, so guna here, we're not talking about sattva guna anymore. We're talking about guna as personal qualities. Is that right? You think it isn't? Well, the thing is, I think we have to, I don't know if I can do it right now, figure out where did this side discussion start? Anybody have an idea? When did we start talking about Vishuddha Sattva? It was somewhere in 46, or is it the beginning of 46? Yeah, let me see if I can find that.
And then Krishna replies, well, there was like, people who were trying to supply the reply of Krishna says, well, I appear as black. Does that mean I'm double blue?
Yeah, well, that was just now, at the end of this anuchet. Okay, it looks like, even in the previous file, let me open, excuse me for the stopping for a minute, but let me try to really understand what context we're in. What I want to find out is what the main discussion that we interrupted, what was it saying when we got interrupted? So I got to find out where the side discussion started. Oh, boy. Okay. Hold on a minute. I have to see where this anuchet started. In file 12. No, I can't find it. Anyway, let's just continue. Anyway, I just had a doubt. We were talking about material, the spiritual mode of goodness. Now we say we're going back to the main discussion, and the word guna comes up. But it looks like I translated it not as mode, but as personal quality. And that's right, because the verse is going to be quoted in the next sentence. Yes. Can we get the microphone, please?
I checked my notes, so it seems that we had a description of Krishna's personal form, uniqueness of his form, and then at one point, or description of this form, it was said that Krishna is black, and then this discussion arose, is he black because he is in ignorance? And then we had this all discussion about his being completely transcendental to ignorance, that he's although he's black, he's not in the ignorance. Now,
yes.
Now, because it was like it was one verse which described his holy name, his form, and then we have his qualities being described.
Qualities were described. So now we described what his, what was it, his name?
We describe it name, then form, and now quality.
Oh, I see. So now that means we're done with describing the form, and now we're moving on to the qualities? I don't think so. In the middle of the Anucheda? Anyway, let's see. Let's see what gets discussed. Tata gunasya vailakshanyam atmaranam nam api akarshna linga gamyad bhuta rupatvam. Now, we're still talking about rupa. The uniqueness of his qualities, moreover, is that they are simply marvelous, adbhuta, as can be inferred from the evidence of their attracting even self-satisfied sages. Okay, the Lord's qualities are wonderful because they attract even self-satisfied sages that are not attracted by anything material. And this is... Tata tadyata shri sut oktau atmaramas chamunaya ityadi hadir gunakshipta mati ityadi cha. This is as stated by Sri Sutta in the verses beginning, even self-satisfied sages, the Atmarama verse, and the verse after it, and his mind distracted by the qualities of Hari. And it goes on to say, Shukadev heard the whole Bhagavatam. Okay. Ata eva oktam Vishnu Dharmotare. Therefore it is said in the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana. Vishnu Dharma Purana is one of the Upa Puranas. There's another Purana called the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana, which might be taken to mean the last part of the Vishnu Dharma Purana, but it's usually considered a separate book. There are two separate minor Puranas, the Vishnu Dharma and the Vishnu Dharmotara. We see the Vishnu Dharmotara quoted much more often. Okay, and we don't even have a copy of the Vishnu Dharma here. We have the Vishnu Dharmotara without a table of contents. Yes. What is the what? Well, I can't find it. It looks like we were discussing the Lord's qualities in relationship to his body, but I can't find the context. If you can find it, I can't remember what was said, but I can't. We have to find the spot where the digression began and see what was said just before that, but I can't find it right now.
I found the main topic. Prahladananda suggested, and I verified it. He said that the main thing was na vidyate yasya cha janma karma va na nama rupe. So rupa was over. So now we are going to come to guna.
Okay. That's all
from Gajendra.
So the whole Anucheda is discussing that verse.
Yeah. And actually in the next Anucheda it begins prakrita shloka is na vidyate. So that na vidyate yasya cha janma karma is the shloka of the,
of the. So okay, now we're discussing in the context of that verse. Let's read the verse, which would be in file 12 at the top. Yeah, okay. The first verse is, that's the actual Vishayavakya, the topic of discussion of this whole Anucheda that we're getting to the end of now, was there in 46.1. I'll read the verse, which was from the 8th canto, 3rd chapter. Na vidyate yasya cha karma janma karma va na nama rupe guna dosha eva va tatapi lokapyaya sambhavaya swamaya ya tanyanukalam richati. He has no birth or activity, no name or form, no qualities or faults. But for the creation and destruction of this world, he assumes all of these permanently by his own Maya. That means birth, activities, name, form, qualities. So now we're up to qualities. How he doesn't have material qualities, but he's got his special kinds of qualities. Okay. Now the Vishnu Dharma Uttara Purana says about this, Gunat sarve piyujyante yaishvaryat purushottame dosha katanchit naivatra yujyante paramohisaha guna doshao mayayaiva kichit ahura pandita natatra maya mayiva tadiyao tau puto yataha tasma namayaya sarvam sarvam aishwarya sambhavam amayihi shvaro yasmat tasmat tam paramam viduhu. All qualities are reconciled in the Supreme Godhead as his personal opulences. There is no way that faults should ever be ascribed to him. Indeed, he is always transcendental. Some poor scholars say that he has good qualities and faults by the influence of Maya. But in him there is no deception and no deceiver. How then can the virtues and faults of deception and of a deceiver be present in him? Sometimes a person intelligently puts up a deception. Sometimes he's a tool in the hands of somebody else, using him to create a deception. Just like an innocent person may get drafted to run for office by some crooks who try to manipulate him as their pawn. So he's being used as a tool of deception by somebody else. But there isn't any somebody else who can manipulate the Supreme Lord to put on a show of qualities when he doesn't have any. Because the Mayavadis actually say that avidya makes the Supreme Absolute Truth appear to have qualities. There's another agent acting on him to make that appearance of qualities. Anyway, how can the virtues and faults of deception and of a deceiver be present in him? Therefore, whatever is present in him is not there by Maya, but as the creation of his opulent power. Namayaya sarvam, sarvam aishwarya sambhavam. Because the Lord is not a deceiver, he is known as the Supreme. Okay, I'll read commentary on this. During the explanation of the uniqueness of the Lord's personal form, the two verses spoken above by Sri Ananaka Dundubi were introduced and analyzed at some length. That was 46:28 through 33. We're up to 32. Now we're up to 33. Now the main discussion is being resumed. That goes back to 27. Where we left off the main discussion. Hold on a second. 27. Yeah. The Nama Rupe Gunaka. Here we go. 27 says, Tata Rupasyapi Vailakshanam. Okay, so 27 is talking about that the Lord's... Okay, I see. 27 was talking about the form is special. Now we're talking about the qualities are special. Yeah, Nama and Rupa were mentioned in 26, which is a reiteration of what was said back in the very beginning of the Anuccheda. Now, okay, going back to the commentary. Now the main discussion is being resumed. The Supreme Lord's excellences have a power no other person's quality can exert. They force impersonalists who have rejected all mundane interests to become very interested in him. Vyasa's son Shukadev is the prime example. The sages at Naimisharanya wanted to know why he, a self-realized sage, bothered to study such a huge text as Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta answered, Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nirgranta Apyurukrame Kurvant Yahoi Tukim Bhaktim Itambhuta Guno Harihi. All different varieties of Atma Ramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service under the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Hadir gunak shipta matir bhagavan badarayanaha adyagan mahadakyanam nityam vishnu janapriyaha. The transcendentally powerful son of Srila Vyasadeva experienced a disturbance in his sober mentality by hearing of the qualities of Lord Hari. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration and became forever very dear to the devotees of Lord Vishnu. Okay. So, itam bhuta guno hari. Lord has such amazing qualities that they can attract by force the attention of certain mayavadis, not all of them, certain impersonalists who are not envious can be won over by the Lord's transcendental qualities. Now, the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana states that in the personality of Godhead there is no deception and no deceiver. In ordinary hearts, even those of the demigods, deception lurks, prompted by material desires who are the agents of illusion. It's your desires that are making you do it. But the Supreme Lord is never duplicitous, and no one can possibly deceive him. So when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mattak parataram nanyat, there is nothing superior to me. And when he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, I am the source of everything, we should give up all, any doubt that we may have about him. He doesn't lie. He's not fooling us by saying something that isn't true. Okay. Maya also means trickery or deception. So there's no Maya in him in that sense. Material, the show put on by the material modes is all a trick. It's all a false show, like a movie show is an illusion of action and of three dimensions on a two-dimensional surface. It's all illusion, the whole show. So the entire show of the material creation is deception. But there's nothing material about the appearance of Lord Vishnu. Even if he appears on the material stage, he's not a deception like the rest of the show. Okay. Just like you may have a fiction, and a real person may appear in the fiction. Like the story of Prachinabharishad is a story, it's a fiction. But Narada appears, the real character, Narada appears in it. That doesn't make him a fiction. Okay. So any comments on that? All right, so we'll stop here and continue with 10:34 to 46:34 tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.